Welcome back to Between the Lines. David and Jonathan are ready to continue sharing wisdom and passion for the Bible's hidden meanings. Let's dive back in.
Now, this wasn't just rain. Mm-hmm. Fountains from underneath the earth erupted, and the earth flooded quickly. I mean, can you imagine? 40 days, the entire earth was covered. So it wasn't just rain. Mm-hmm. More water came from below than came from above. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the self same day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. That was one thing when I went up and visited the ark in Tennessee. They have little models of all the animals in there. Full size.
Yeah.
They got dinosaurs in there.
Yeah.
This is absolutely ridiculous. And if you go to our first installment of Understanding the Bible, you'll realize this is the second time Earth has been, at least the second time Earth has been here. And if you go to Jeremiah and read, visit installment number one. You go to Jeremiah. That's the beginning of the Bible. That's where Jeremiah the prophet, he has a vision of the earth underwater, the cities torn down, and all of the flesh destroyed. And God actually put out the sun too. Mm-hmm. And the end of the verse ends with, and the earth was void and without form. And from there you turn to Genesis 1, and it says, and the earth was void and without form, and God said, let there be light, at least for the second time. Well, the dinosaurs perished in the first go-round. That is why science and this book match up perfectly. Because yes, those fossils are millions of years old. Right. Because in the end of the verse in Jeremiah, God says, but a complete end I will not make. But he apparently waited millions of years before he lit the sun back up and said, let there be light. Because those bones are that old. And yet, this time around, we've only been here 8,000 or 9,000 years. It's so easy to explain if you'll just take all of it into account. Mm-hmm. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up upon the earth, and the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went up the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered, and all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast and of creeping things that creepeth upon the earth. And every man in whose nostrils was the breath of life of all that was in the dry land died. Let's see, we're going to go back to chapter 6, verse 4. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after. And that after refers to after the flood. But you can't be here, Dave, because what did God said? And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beasts and all of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man in all in whose nostrils was the breath of life of all that was in the dry land. And there, we see the key to it.
The breath of life.
Yeah. Sanctioned by God.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
These monsters that were created by the angelic beings were not sanctioned by God.
Right.
And if you go to the Samaritan text, you will get an account of Cain's line. And the Samaritan text says that Tubal-Cain took his clan to the highest mountain, and a few of them survived. And there are your giants that show up later. Because it says right here in 6, and there were giants in the land and after. And we see that as the Israelis, God says, go take the land. Oh my gosh, we're like grasshoppers compared to them. They're huge, they're giants.
Yep.
They still existed. They survived, and you have to go. There's so many places you have to read to get a full picture. You gotta go to the Samaritan text. That is not the account of creation, but it is an account of Cain's line and how they survived the flood. And every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and the creeping things and the fowls of the heaven. They were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And you got to go back to 22 real quick. And God says, everything dies, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life. Everything that was sanctioned by God and put here, God destroyed. And that is true. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. Chapter 8, Genesis chapter 8, verse 1. And you're here with Understanding the Bible Between the Lines with Dave and Jonathan. If you're just joining us, we're on installment number 2. We're going to go as far as we can. And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged, they lowered. The fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. You know, and all these Christian apologists and these scientists, if you melted all the ice caps and everything, they wouldn't cover all the highest mountains. But you see, the fountains of the deep were dried up.
Right.
That water went back underground.
Yes, sir.
This is a giant water planet.
Yes, sir.
There's more underground than there is above. And the waters returned from off the earth continually, and after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated. And the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. So they were in the ark, almost a year?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the smell. Can you imagine?
Yes.
Probably didn't even notice it. After month number 2, didn't even notice it. They probably opened the window and said, oh, it smells out here.
Yeah. Why does it smell like this?
Came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark, which he had made. And he sent forth a raven, which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. Also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him unto the ark. Why didn't the raven come back?
That's a good question.
Ravens have an amazing ability to stay aloft, but doves do not. Doves are heavy. What, you ever notice a dove trying to take off? A lot of flapping to get that big body. We used to hunt doves, and those big old breasts were a big chunk of roast beef.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. And he stayed yet another 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. The dove came in to him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off, so no one knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. How quickly life had been restored. And he stayed yet another 7 days, and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him anymore. His call to come out. And it came to pass in the 601st year, and in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark, and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. And in the second month, on the 7th and 20th day of the month, was the earth dried. And God spake unto Noah, saying, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife, and thy sons, and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth, and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him, every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kinds, went forth out of the ark. And Noah built it an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast, and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done more than one time already. You got to go to Jeremiah again to see that. Tune in on installment number one. While the earth remaineth seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. So God said, I will never again destroy the earth with a flood. Chapter 9, book of Genesis. God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Same thing we've seen that was said to the first creation. In Genesis, replenish. God did not say populate the earth to Adam and Eve.
Right.
And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth. This is new. This is never before. Remember, in the garden there was cohesion between the animal kingdom and the kingdom of man. And now God says, and there will be fear of you, and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. And see, this is confusing, because this is where God establishes the fact that they can eat the animals, but he yet told Noah to put clean animals on the ark, and the Levitical law is still hundreds of years from being established, establishing what is a clean animal. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things, but flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood, therefore shall ye not eat. And surely your blood of your lives will I require at the hand of every beast. Will I require it? So, not only will you be terrible to the animal kingdom, they will hunt you on occasion. And at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of man. So, be careful what you do, who you kill. Whosoever sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. Yes, the image, but as we said earlier, not the sons of God. And you, be ye fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth, and multiply therein. And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, and I, behold, I establish my covenant with you, and with you your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there be any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And like we said, installment number one, and a couple times today, at least twice has God done this, and he says, I'm not going to do it anymore. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. Amazing.
Yeah, pretty neat, because it's a, you know, with the rain coming down out of the sky, first time in, well, maybe first, could be same time history, but that would be the birth of a rainbow.
Yes, absolutely.
I never really thought about it that
exactly.
way.
Exactly. And it is a sign of God's grace and his forgiveness, and he will never, never destroy the earth with a flood again. You ever been to Hawaii? Hawaii's an amazing place. It rains every day, multiple times a day. But there, I've counted 5 or 6 rainbows in the sky at one time.
Huh.
It's absolutely unbelievable.
Awesome.
Paradise on earth.
Yeah.
And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you, and every living creature of all flesh, and the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And this is a reoccurring theme in the Bible, that God reminds himself of things that he has put in order and wishes to keep in order. And God said unto Noah, and I guess you're managing the entire universe. You probably need some sticky notes here and there, right?
Yeah, I would think so.
Oh yeah, there it is, the bow, yeah.
Don't
wipe that one out anymore.
Okay.
And God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. And the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem and Ham and Japheth. And Ham is the father of Canaan. These are the 3 sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread. Noah began to be an husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. We're currently in Genesis chapter 9, and the flood has taken place. Noah's just now coming out of the boat, and we're gonna join in at chapter 9, verse 20. And Noah began to be an husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. So, got a year. He's locked in the ark for a year. Family. His sons, wives, his own wife. Really nowhere you can get away from anything. And thousands of animals and the smells associated with it.
The sounds.
First thing he does is plant a vineyard.
I don't even know what the drink is, but I'm going to make one.
Verse 21, and he drank of the wine and was drunk. Can you blame the fella? Just making light here.
Yeah.
You know, for all of you legalists out there, God never said Christian couldn't drink. He said, you're a fool to be a drunk. In fact, Paul says, all things are legal for the Christian. Not all things are good for certain Christians, but all things are legal if you can understand that. What's good for this fellow over here might not be good for that fellow.
You can do it.
Because this fellow's character is a little stronger than that fellow's character. And he drank of the wine, and he was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. Okay, now this is convoluted. I'm going to do my best to explain it to you. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his 2 brethren without. And the other 2 boys, Shem and Japheth, took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah woke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. Okay. All through my entire young life in Christianity, they had told me that Noah got drunk, paraded around naked, passed out naked in his tent. Ham went in there, seen his father naked, saw his father naked, and went and told his brothers, had a big old laugh about it. But no. That is not what happened here. I'm going to take you over here to Leviticus chapter 20. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 11. This is a multiple theme, and there's a dozen places in this Bible that will tell you the exact same thing. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 11. And the man that lieth with his father's wife hath uncovered his father's nakedness. Leviticus 20, chapter 11, and Leviticus 27:20 says the same thing. Forbidden to uncover his father's nakedness, referring to adultery with his wife. Deuteronomy 22:30, man shall not take his father's wife and uncover his father's nakedness. Okay, now let's go back here. And he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father. He went in. Apparently Noah's wife was compromised with the wine also. And he went into his mother. The Bible doesn't say if Noah only had one wife. It's a possibility, because if you go to the book of Enoch and the three sons, one black, the three cows in the vision, Noah's sons, each one referring to one of Noah's sons, one black, one white, and one red. Good cannot come out of bad. Bad cannot exist with good. You know, and we're going to see that one was evil, one was good, and one was benign. Okay? So, definitely something going on there. Whether it was his real mother or a second wife of Noah, the Bible does not say. But Ham had relations with the sleeping wife of Noah. And Shem and Japheth had the fortitude to know we don't even look at our mother naked.
Right.
You know, I got this vision that him, Noah and his wife had a good old time that night.
Right.
And, you know, they were uncovered, both of them in the tent, and whatever they had done, they had a good old time. I mean, they were cooped up for a year.
Got away from the kids.
And then Ham had some lines in him. That's why I've always thought that Noah had another wife, possibly, and the lines of Cain, because the Bible doesn't say that his sons had perfect genealogy. It said that Noah had perfect genealogy. But there's something in Ham that shouldn't have been in Ham. Mm-hmm.
Says that in Leviticus too.
Yes. Absolutely. Yes. Oh yeah. And Noah woke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. This is a spiritual knowledge, as he was obviously passed out. And he said, "Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren." And it's interesting, he didn't curse Ham, he cursed Ham's son.
Servant of servants.
Servant of servants. Remember that. Servant of servants. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant." Blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. So, I mean, the two boys got a blessing out of what they done, and Ham got a horrible cursing out of what he did. And it will follow the lines of these children up till today. And Noah lived after the flood 350 years, and all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died.
Stay tuned as we continue our journey through the scriptures on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible. We'll be right back with more insightful discussions and exploration